Good evening, party people, and welcome to the Pine Room Studio / podcast. To my right, I have a guy by the name of Matthew Watson, Mark Delbruck, and a guy by the name of Chris Pavlik. Good evening, fellas. How's everybody doing this evening?
Not too bad, Jeff. Thanks.
Good, good, good. Beautiful day out there.
I'm in a short sleeve shirt. I can't believe it.
It's unreal.
It's summer.
Yeah, honestly, it feels unbelievable. I guess even the extended forecast next week is
not
horrendous. I mean, I think we dropped down in the 50s a little bit, but
at one point today, it would jump. All he does is weather report. And didn't he say up to in the 80s?
Yeah, he said he's going to touch 80 some point next week.
Yeah,
I believe
that's a little too hot.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, obviously, I do love the seasons, but to me, this is a little too early to be dipping my toe in the water with the warmness right now. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Oh, it's way too fast. I could settle for like 60. I don't need 80.
No.
I don't need 75.
No.
And I do enjoy I'm with you, Jeff. I enjoy the seasons. I enjoy spring and summer. But there's something about winter and getting dark early where, I don't know, it's more, once the weather gets warmer, I feel like there's a million things to do.
Too much to do.
Outside, now you're looking at grass cutting going to start soon. Cleaning up all the mess from the winter. You with your pool down the road. That's still wild, but there's so much more to do personally, you know, at your home with other things you have to do. Where winter, who cares about your outside and your grass and your, maybe you had to shovel snow a couple times, but I don't know. I'm not looking forward to it.
But you always, in your case, you fucking find shit to do in the winter.
But
don't even like to sit around.
Well, no,
but now he's got to find it to do in a larger range.
But
now
you're probably like referring to games and stuff like that, like bocce.
No, I'm just saying shit at home, like you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it's not like it's that stuff that just you don't get to do in the summer and the spring because you don't spend any time inside.
Well, the darkness and the cold is conducive to being a lazy fuck.
Yeah.
No, I don't mean you. I'm just in general.
I think there is some truth to that.
Well,
I think
isn't bad.
No, it's a great thing. I think at the end of the day, it's easier to sell yourself on being a piece of shit.
There you go. That's
justified.
It's easier justified. And it is nice that you have that bereavement for a couple months where you put on your fat pants and you kind of just do your thing and stuff like that. Not a bad gig.
Right. And then like if you do have a weekend free and it's cold and it's snowy and it's and you've gotten all your pretty much your chores done at home, you can feel like a lazy ass. Because if it's sunny out and 70 and you're sitting in the house, personally, I think I'm wasting a day when I should be outside doing something.
Mm-hmm.
So back to your point, it is beautiful out but I'm not a fan of it yet.
How do you guys piggybacking off of that? Like, so you talked about it sometimes, the justification, Chris, I guess you say. How do you guys feel nowadays that we're a little bit longer in the tooth and you go out and have that night of boozing and then that next day where you become a piece of shit? I know this much. That has changed in my world where back in the day, I was fine. Like, you know what? I earned that badge of honor and I'm going to lay my big ass on the couch all day long and not feel guilty about it and stuff. Now, I tell you what, that has changed tremendously in my eyes. Like if I go out and the blue men, as you guys know, you guys don't see me as often as you used to. But when I do go do that and I'm on the couch for a Sunday, that kind of bothers me more now than ever. Are you guys on the same page or you guys think I'm smoking crack right now?
I just wish I could get to do that.
I know. Yeah.
Because I always got to work usually the next. I mean, and on Mondays, I help my parents out, so I don't really get to do it that day. I long for a day like that, Jeff. But going off the same lines, kind of, I feel like shit a lot easier now that I'm old. If I go heavy drink, you know, used to bounce back fast, but now it's like, geez, if I don't get sleep and I drink a lot, it's like, man, I'm fucked up for a week. Like I'm still recovering from the Mountain East. And I mean, we didn't go anywhere near what we used to do. It's, I see where you're coming from, but I'm ready for one of those days where I don't have to do anything.
No, and I get that. I think it's just more from a standpoint that you realize those days, because as we all know, we're all very busy. So when you are completely non-productive, when maybe there is things to do and you did it to yourself, it's self-inflicted. I guess a little bit more of a guilty thing, I guess, Where back in the day, I wouldn't have gave two shits. Like, hey, I earned that right, goddamn right. it. I drank 36 beers, and I deserve to be on the couch right now. But
With me, I agree. It's more like the guilt thing, because back in the day, even if it didn't involve like heavy drinking on the weekend, but I just remember Mark, Matt, well, maybe not Matt as much, but just back in the day when we started getting into that fantasy football, and you'd spend every fucking waking minute on a Sunday just inside, like on a day like today, you watch every game and you don't do a goddamn thing. And then when you're drinking, you know, I wouldn't care either, like you said, about if I was a total piece of shit the next day. But now you look at it and like, Jesus Christ, I drank too much last night. Now I'm just sitting around doing nothing because I feel like shit.
But then you can go back and you've said it before, but boy, did I have fun.
And that is true.
I had a great time, and I'm actually glad I had fun. I feel terrible, and I'm not doing much, and I feel a little guilty, but now I think about the laughs and the fun and the friendships, then it's sort of, then you don't feel quite as bad.
Well, you never regret the moment, right? You don't ever regret the moment.
Right.
Well, it's the aftermath.
Again, that's just like justifying like what Mark's saying. Well, yeah, I feel like shit today. I haven't done a thing. But you know what? I had a great time.
So
there's the justification, right?
But the older you get, it's like I could have the best intentions for the weekend. Okay, Sunday I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Saturday night interfered with me getting all that stuff done on Sunday.
But then you know what you say? Nah, I can get it done later.
Yeah. Most of the stuff is not necessary.
That's a good point.
It's not, it is quite a difference in how you recovered back in the day as to now. I mean, when you get after it on a night now, it literally takes 2 or 3 days to recover. I remember, because I just think of the Penguin games we used to go to, Chris, we went to maybe 32 games a year, maybe. And those games weren't all on the weekends. A lot of them were during the week.
The majority of
them. And that was drinking like madmen during the week, drinking all the in the game, all the way home. All the way up in the game, all the way home till we parked the car. We were drinking and getting home. What, Chris? Maybe like midnight?
11, no, it was about. I'd try to get in the house by 11:20 to see the highlights.
11:20, drinking up until 11 o'clock, and then getting up for work, and never miss work because of that, and not feel not horrible. Now, if I did that now, Lord.
Oh.
I think, in
all of our cases, that the social life, the going out and drinking isn't nearly as of a priority as it used to be. Like when the weekend, because there's weekends now where you just look at something like an upcoming weekend, think, I don't have a goddamn thing to do. I'm not going out with anybody. I'm just staying home or just do something that didn't involve drinking.
So there's a sigh of relief there when you see one of those. Not that you don't want to have fun, but it's like you know what the repercussions are going to be.
But you said something in there, Chris. You don't want to be around anybody. And I know, Jeff, you're a stickler on sometimes it's just wonderful to not be around people.
You know what? And that is actually a very sad statement.
It is, but
it really is. I think when the daily grind, when you are in quote unquote a people business and that's all you do all day long.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what? I'm okay sitting in my living room by myself and chilling out for a little bit.
Like, literally by yourself.
And honestly, that probably sounds like I'm a fucking weirdo.
No.
I get it.
No, it doesn't.
But I think people that maybe live a little bit of a different life and stuff like that, and they earn for that, where if you do live a little bit of a stressful life or whatever the case might be, those one-off situations where you can just chill in the house and I just got to deal with the docs and mafia or my jack-off 19-year-old. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's not a bad trade-off at all. And I know that sometimes probably the perception of that isn't the best in the world, but I've also got to the point respectfully that I don't care.
No time to care.
Yeah, I don't care.
Well, I really got enough things to care about.
You know, this weekend, Matt, you know, when we were all up in 309, and you know what I'm saying here, it's like, okay, I've had, I've been around these guys enough. They've been around me enough. At four straight nights, everybody got along. Nobody got, I didn't get sick of anybody, but okay, it's time for a break.
Right.
It's time for a break. I love all you guys. And you know, and you probably got sick of me maybe, but it's just the fact that, okay, we had a great time together and now it's just, okay.
We could all went to the Miners game last night, kept it going. Yeah. Though. And then the Nailer game on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And this on and on.
Keep the running
time. Yeah, you got to have a break. You got
you do. And at the end of the day,
it's not offending. I mean, it's
it shouldn't be.
If someone got tired of me, I probably got tired of them too. So rest up.
Well, I think a lot of people, if you want to know the truth, we have so many weak fucks in this world nowadays that twofolds, they're not cool with themselves. Right. And they're weak where they always have to be around somebody.
Oh, yeah.
Where at the end of the day, that's the majority now. So if you do have your minority people that are, you know, okay in their own skin and okay with, you know, a little bit of quiet time or whatever, you're looked upon as like you're the fucking idiot in the world. Well, and that's okay. I mean, but I just think I think that is flip-flopped a little bit, in my opinion.
And it's even hard to go somewhere with your buddies, like even down to the Vets, and enjoy like watching a game and just chatting with them, because you got 15 people who want to tell you their life story or what happened to them today or what's going on in their life. And like, did I ever like give you any kind of signal that I wanted to hear this right now? I'm not sure that why you're telling me all this.
How are people so unaware that
it's incredible?
They come, and it's not like they come over and say hi, chat a couple minutes and then walk off. I mean, I would never do some of the things. Like, I will say on Sunday night, I didn't really relax at the club, and I know you guys were able to either, because it was just one after another. I wanted to bullshit about the games.
Right, you can't.
Here we go. We got 15 other people, and they're chomping your ears, and you're trying to sort things out that you're running.
Absolutely.
It was not relaxing at all.
No.
I get exactly what you mean,
Coach. That should be my point, like what you said. When we were talking to old Davey, now, Dave is the kind of guy that says this, but then he leaves. Like, a lot of people are unaware that don't tell you everything. I mean, they're on for 15, 20 minutes. They don't know when to leave. And it's not like someone like you're close with. It's just, you're just there. You know, you're someone that they think you're going to listen or care what they have to say. But those type of people that just know when to just get up and walk away, there's not many people like
that. Even in that case, the conversation isn't even two way. The conversation is mostly one way. Yep. It's coming like this at you.
And you're giving like one word answers to try to get out of it.
Like, right. And then you either got to hope one of your buddies bails you out, or you get a call that you really, really don't get. And, I got to go to the bathroom and then disappear. And it's just, and then you got to find another seat. Yeah, I agree.
Well, so. I look at it as a positive that people must like to be around us.
Well,
and talk to us.
That's,
I mean,
the other thing.
I mean, sometimes I wish people hated everything about me. Like, I don't want to go somewhere. This is really sad to say, but like, I rarely enjoy going to the club anymore. I rarely do. It's tough. Like, I wouldn't miss that. Like, if I didn't like the guys who were officers and, you know, Coach and Scotty and like feel like I want to participate and help out with the boards and do stuff, I might never go. Like, if the wrong person was in the leadership there, I wouldn't go back, because I just don't enjoy it like I used to. It's just not the same. And again, none of the people are bad people that bother. It's not, and I sound like an asshole saying that, but it's like, I can't do this. Like, this is not conducive to me relaxing. When I go there, I want to have fun. I want to relax. I want to watch game. I want to bullshit with some people. That's it. I don't need to hear everyone's life stories about these people that offended them or their sports teams that I don't care about. Yeah, I'm with you guys.
Just out of curiosity, because obviously there probably is going to be a change in leadership, from what I've gathered on text messages and stuff like that, will you find a new watering hole or that part?
I can just cut it out. I can just cut it out. Like, I knew at some point, Chris and I have been doing this Sunday night routine.
Oh my Lord.
For, honestly, it has to be 20. It has to be 20 years.
Well, almost. Your brother was still in college.
Yeah. So it's got, he 18, just turned 40. Years, so yeah. So, I mean, we've been doing it, and if at some point I thought it would fizzle out, like it would be like, okay, we can't do this anymore. And then, you know, we've kept on, and again, it's not an indictment of anybody specifically or anything. It's just, I go down there and coach, you have it way worse than me because you're getting bombarded from all these different levels. And it's like, you know, this is my, I'm a member of this club too. I like to come in here and relax and not get accosted about which boards we're not, we don't have or how many things I got. I mean, I don't mind doing that, but it gets a little bit overwhelming, especially when you've been working and you're tired and you just want to, you just would like to go chill with your friends and bullshit. But yeah, so I don't know, Jeff. I say that often, probably just, you know, just because you get in a cranky moment about it, but it's like, yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
I just, you know what, actually what enamors me is back to your board situation. You know, obviously I know I appreciate the fact of matter that I get that Sunday morning text and you know what, it's $10. It's not millions of dollars every week. And you know, I have something that most of the time, if I'm going to be very transparent, I don't even watch the shit.
Right.
I'm just waiting on the text, keeping my fingers crossed. And I want
to, you're the one.
And I'm the one.
This week you were.
You don't even have your fingers crossed. You don't even care. Yeah.
But I do get enamored of the and maybe I misread this. Nah. Maybe I misread this.
I know where you're going with it.
The unappreciation
of
I know I fucking appreciate it. Like at the end of the day, and I make sure that, hey, thank you. Thanks for always involving me, blah, 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 this and that. But how ballsy people are to, I guess, initiate the conversation. Well, what are we doing? Because I don't even know half the people on the text.
Because
when I get those texts, I only know you guys. Like, I don't know half the fucking people responding and shit like that.
I got out of some of those.
But it's just, it's sad that people don't have. Take it for what it is. Whenever Matt Watson, if he wants to send out a text on Sunday morning to say, hey, we're going to have a couple boards, and if there is no fucking text, then you know what? Matt's taking a Sunday off.
I mean, it's not for because I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah. I mean,
well, sometimes you can.
And I'll go even a step further with that. Like, we'll be down at the club, Matt and I, Weeks, and a guy will just come up and say, hey, you guys going to run a board? Hey, we're going to have a board. Hey, you going to do a board for this? Hey, you going to do this? Are we going to have that? It's almost like you want to look at, why don't you do it?
Yeah, right.
Why don't you run the board?
That's like champ.
And leave us alone.
Yeah.
You're going to have a board just for Super Bowl. They act like that. Those boards just appear and then they're easy.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Like they're easy. You don't have
track
to do
all that money. Especially when you're doing the big ones.
Oh my God, $100 board and you're,
for
you're
100
talking
squares.
You're talking $10,000 and you know, are you going to miss a $50 bill here or something? This guy wants to sign up and when can I pay? You walk in and you're not even sitting down. Hey, you're going to have a basketball NCAA board because those guys aren't going to run it. You guys are going to do it, aren't you? Like really? I mean,
like the bartender didn't even get the top off your beer, and they're already.
They are, and there are certain guys that just you see them coming, and they're going to say, "I almost want to say, why don't you run it?
Yeah,
you take the board and you do it.
I'll show you how to do it."
Well, twofold with that. Like so Friday night was the first time I've been in the Vets in a hot minute. We went there after the games, me, Weekly, and Tesoros. So I think the last time I would have been in the Vets. Scotty was there and I was talking to Scotty and I told him, you know what? I actually feel bad for you, dude. I said, at the end of the day, and now here's the deal. And respectfully to Scotty, he knew what he signed up for.
Yeah,
so at the end of the day,
it
is what it is, but it's a shame how those clubs become first and foremost, as we all know, nobody can be normal. So it becomes drama, it becomes political.
Yes.
It becomes, and respectfully, people should appreciate when somebody takes that role that obviously that shit just doesn't happen yesterday.
Right.
There's a lot of work that goes involved with that. I told Scotty that one last time I was there, like you can't even come in here as a quote unquote patron on a Friday or Saturday night and not be quote unquote the commander and sit back and just enjoy a beer in a watering hole that you've been doing since you've been fucking 18, 20 years old back in the day that people just automatically, man, want to dig or tell the fucking problems or whatever the case might be. I told him, God bless him, because at the end of the day, this has to suck the fun out of you.
Yeah, he
gets dragged in. You get it too, coach.
Yeah,
I mean,
I get it.
Any of those officers, they get drug into stuff they want no part of. Bartenders bickering and patrons that don't like other patrons and people that have no business trying to meddle in if a certain person's going to get a 30-day suspension or something, they have no business in that. Like, shut up. Like, let the people who have been elected handle the problems and you shut the fuck up. And when it's time for you to speak up at a meeting, you can raise your hand and speak cordially. But other than that, these guys don't want to hear it. It's not a relaxing place for those guys. So I only understand it to a small degree compared to what I'm only dealing with one little part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I do. I feel for Scotty. I don't blame him for wanting to get out of that at all.
Well, and the other thing It's a volunteer job.
Yes.
It's a non-paid position that guys are working their ass off to try to make it.
Right.
And Scotty's done wonders with that club. Yes. And that club has come light years from where it was 5 years ago. And it's really is a pretty nice club now.
Is.
And that's just because of the leadership. And people don't appreciate because there's always something else wrong. Why did we get ready to spare a quarter? Oh, well, it's called inflation, dipshit. You know what I mean?
Have you went and bought beer outside the fence?
Right, exactly. Go down to Waterfront or go to the Bridge Bar. Go here and buy a beer. And you're still getting it for two and a quarter. You can buy a round for your three buddies for less than $10. Go somewhere and try that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one thing.
whether it's any type of function or what you're saying at the club, doesn't it seem like most of the people that do most of the bitching and complaining about just minor things are the people that contribute the least amount?
Oh, yeah.
They 1,000%.
Yes.
Here's the deal. That's not a club thing.
No, oh, that's right.
That's a life thing.
That is a life thing.
And I just know, you have people requesting, so that one guy, he comes in here, I'm not going to name his name, but asking about if we're going to have this certain food at the Super Bowl party. They used to have that.
Just incredible.
And they're like, well, then you fucking
what's Mark going to have at the Super Bowl party? You got to come make a special trip to ask us.
Yeah. That's unbelievable.
Are you serious? Do you think that we're even worried
all
about
these
that?
Things, and I think you touched on it, how things are taken for granted. They just think that, like, the people in charge or any of the people that help them out, they just snap their fingers and the food or the tables and chairs get set up. Like, it takes a lot of work regardless of the function.
Not a doubt.
But these people, but they don't want to contribute anything.
Mm-mm. And I tell you what, and I you guys know because this is going to be a little bit of a gray thing. So this is not a man versus a woman thing. But it's amazing to me how a bunch of fucking dudes can become chicks real quick.
Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh.
Honestly. Isn't that crazy? Because the intention, from my understanding, and obviously I know I'm older now, but from my understanding, and Mark and Chris, you can maybe, I'm not calling you guys old, the original mindset of a club when it first came to evolution way back in the day, you know, your Cape clubs, your vets clubs and stuff like that, was, this is kind of going to sound kind of shitty, but it was a kind of a place to go get away and like that kind of stuff, and to kind of to get away from your problems, for lack of better
and your
terms.
Family.
Well, and I was going to say that, but I didn't want to sound too bad. But it's true.
No, not that you or any of us are like that, but that's what it was intended for, because there are guys, the older generation especially, that was their escape from their family.
That's exactly right, and from their wives and stuff.
And that
like
was
that.
Their private time, and that was nobody was taking it from.
That's
them.
Why it was a stag bar,
right?
That's exactly right.
Most of them were stag.
That's kind of
so you go watch a ball game. You talk about basically sports, but anything else.
And let's be honest, I think the respect factor, and I am just as guilty because I love the word fuck, but like it was a place that maybe you could go and be a little bit more ornerier as in that kind of stuff.
Be open
and stuff like that. And nobody.
No,
really
I
cared.
Agree with that, Jeff. That's a good point.
I mean, but
it's a really good point.
But now it's evolved where we're just all a bunch of bitches and fucking like, you know, everybody's got a whiny cry, take their tampon out. And I mean, it's just it. But you know what, though? Once again. Welcome to the 21st
century. And
it went
from stag to one night, a ladies' night, having it for like 3 hours, like on a Thursday. I don't know, Chris, you might remember how that all started.
You mean at the Vets,
other clubs
still that way. Or just on Saturdays.
Just on Saturdays.
They let women in there at all?
Wait,
they didn't used to.
What club did you say?
Cave Club?
Yeah.
And you can't go in by yourself. You can't go in by yourself. You have to go in with your significant other.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, and so I think the Vets started with just one night.
You know what? Or they used to have, and I remember this, and I, you know, that was very nice that they did it, but if you took your wife in there, I think ladies drank
for free. Yeah,
on Saturday.
They did do that at some point when I was a member. Yep.
But then I think what started happening is guys would bring their wives in on that night, and then they said, "Geez, we ought to make this a women's club. We could start the ladies' auxiliary or whatever." And then they band together. The guys would bring their wives in, and then said, "We ought to let ladies in here. Women should be allowed in. We could make more money that way." And then it evolves into
Well, I was saying now it's rare when there's not almost as many women in the club as men.
Yeah.
And, but again, it's not rare.
No,
it's rare.
It would be rare if it was more lopsided. There is as many women in the club regularly when I go anyway as there are men. Now I will say, the women that are involved and they're there a lot, they contribute a lot more than a lot of the deadbeat losers that come in there and the people that are running down there to win this $100,000 and never come back to the club again and stuff like that. But that's for, that's a discussion for another day. It's definitely a different time. I mean, I used to think that club was very pro woman, but it was only a selective times, and now it's, you know, anytime.
I know my wife would not want to hang out in the Warwood Vets Club for a lot of time. Would go in occasionally for a Christmas party.
Yeah, 100%.
Probably a
like
lot
your,
of
your wife, like you've that. Had, but she would not want to. I would
just. I wouldn't see. I'm going out of club tonight,
sitting at the or we're sitting at dinner and say, hey, "Honey, we head down to the club. We head out of the club tonight." It's just that's not what she would prefer to do.
No, and then that's okay. And here's the deal. I mean, to each their own. That's the cool part about it. I mean,
right.
Whatever makes your world turn. I mean, and I'm not here to judge because I'll be honest with you, once again, I don't give a fuck. But it is just crazy how I guess they have evolved.
That's a good point.
Not a really good standard, I guess. And I don't even know if that's a fair statement either, but. But yeah, but on another note, I did take a couple of things down, Mark. I know you had a couple of things, and I guess a little bit on a serious note. What are you guys' thoughts on, obviously, you guys are familiar with this whole Pitt student being missing in the Dominican and stuff like that?
I didn't know anything about that. Yeah.
I didn't either.
Yeah, so there's this girl went on a trip with five of her girlfriends. She's of Indian descent. Beautiful, beautiful girl. And now she's missing in the Dominican.
Yep.
So I guess reason why I'm asking you guys, obviously, Chris, you're the only one with a daughter. But I don't even know nowadays if I like at that age of life and how things are so crazy and stuff like that. I don't know what if I would be allowing.
Oh, no.
And it's so sad because at the end of the day, it starts off to be something so fun. And then you're starting to hear more and more stories where, you know, her friends, quote unquote, left her because she met this dude and all this stuff. And it's like a Natalie Holloway situation.
Yep, I was going to mention the same thing, Jeff.
All over again.
Oh, I didn't know this.
And it's so fun. It's so crazy because the society we live in nowadays, you know, back in the day, you'd have never thought. I mean, I know I went to senior week and I know, unfortunately, there's a little bit of a different view when it comes to the male and female thing when to parenting, and I don't know what it's like to parent a female, but like, you know, back in the day there was never those worries,
no,
this kind of stuff, and now all of a sudden, man, I like, imagine being her parent.
Oh my god.
Like, just
no I think that'd be the worst
this
nightmare
happened, Jeff.
I mean, like in the last couple of days, I think
worst nightmare last
her
week.
Her friends are all accounted for, but she's missing
I think it'd be the worst nightmare of
the worst nightmare
ever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ever.
No question.
I don't even want to say it.
Well, I'm just saying, as in the other thing is, you would, if you by chance allotted your kid to do that, man, I think that I would probably be the parent that would be bringing everybody over to my house for dinner before going and trying to, quote unquote, being the sound of reason and giving everybody the rules of engagement.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea.
Like from a standpoint like, hey, I don't care what. What Peter you're chasing that night.
Mm-hmm.
No, everybody stays together. Nobody leaves anybody. Because I guess, last seen at 4:30 in the morning, there's some sort of video and this and that. Then there was, I think, a power outage on the island, which kind of hurt some of their cause on tracking some of the stuff.
That gives me chills.
It's horrible, though, that nowadays you got to worry that something that sets off that somebody that's obviously very intelligent, Pit girl, you know, getting ready to go away for a week, and the whole thing is the concept is having fun, and now this shit.
Oh, that's
happens.
Awful.
Would you guys be uneasy about this period? Like, if your daughter or even son was going on a trip like that, would you just feel uneasy the whole time they were gone? Like
1,000%.
Even if everything worked out. I mean, I just not having children, but still, if it was someone that I cared about, period, I would still be nervous these days about them going out of the country and going to a place like that.
And that's actually kind of my point, because this isn't really a boy-female thing,
sure.
Because I'm not even sure that I would allow Luke to go out of the country with a couple guys right now.
It's too risky, man.
It's just too risky.
Can't count on other people.
You can't.
There's not enough I hate to say it, there's not enough good people in the right spots in the world, because it's just there's too much.
And then, Jeff, if you say just for instance, Luke, and he just kept being persistent. He and his buddies were going wherever, out of country. And then you finally gave in.
Oh, God, Chris.
And then something happened. And then you're thinking, gee, if I'd have just stuck to my fucking
guns.
Your instincts were right all along.
You never,
yes.
I mean, forgive yourself.
No, oh, and you blame yourself and live with that for the rest of your life. And so your son's going to be pissed off at you for a couple of weeks or whatever. He'll get over it. But he's
right?
going to be here.
Yeah.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, I think you got to be open minded and let them spread their wings. But I think that has to be within the United States. And like you said, Matt, I mean, I know there's bad people everywhere, but there's bad people in the States that's going to try to take advantage of somebody that's inebriated or whatever the case might be. But man, it's so crazy that you even have to have those thoughts in your head before decisions are made.
And you don't have any idea how a lot of these other countries operate as far as their police forces that could be on the take. For as many problems as we have in our country with police force and things like that, we're pretty lucky because we actually have an established police force in like every town in the entire country, which is something that a lot of these places don't have. I mean, these are... they may be beautiful, they may be resorts, but they are a third world country. So Dominican Republic is not a cultured country. It's beautiful. They got great people down there in areas for sure, but there is a lot of danger in those kinds of places. They're not like us. I mean, you're going to the United States, you're going to Canada, you're going to be relatively safe. You're going anywhere down south of that in North America, South America, Central America. You're taking a risk. You hate to say that, but it's the truth. You can see a thousand stories just like this that don't get reported.
Yeah, and she may either be dead or in a sex trafficking ring.
Just, you know, she could be across the country. She could be in Asia.
Never to be seen again.
Which would honestly be, or it sounds awful, but I'd rather have them get murdered than have them live that life. That would be the worst possible thing that could ever happen to somebody.
Well, I look at the movie Taken, and I know it's way far-fetched, but it's so real in what we're just talking about. He didn't want her to go. The mom let her go. Mm-hmm. She was taken in a sex trafficking ring, and
if Liam Neeson wasn't her dad,
she would have never got back. He had the skills that.
Yeah. You think you could have been as efficient as Liam Neeson killing all those and missing
never,
every bullet
and never getting shot, never getting yeah. Anyway, that I know what you're saying.
Liam Neeson couldn't have ran in 2 minutes and pissed and come back to get the shot clock like Coach did the other day.
Boy, I was.
Even
I was
on a bad knee.
Yeah, on a bad knee. Yeah.
Well, that was interesting. But yeah, Jeff, good point there.
Sad. Really is sad, man.
No, I did not know that. And that's just terrible.
Right? Yeah, in some ways, a lot of ways now this world is a real mess. It's an absolute real mess. It really is.
Do you guys think there is obviously, this is an obvious question, but there's a distinct, more of a vulnerability for females because they can just be overpowered 100%. And captured.
100%. Absolutely.
I mean, apparently there's more, I guess, this sounds sick too, but it's bad that I even know this, but I guess they pay more money for males, but the females are easier to get into these, human trafficking rings. But
unbelievable.
It's the biggest business in the world.
Were you
now.
Guys, maybe I'm naive or I was living under a rock, but maybe up until a couple of years ago, were you aware that this sex trafficking was that prevalent?
I'm still naive to all of
like,
it.
I heard people talking about it. I'm like, nah, that.
Like even around here, though.
Yeah. I was like, no, that can't be. And then you start looking into it and reading stories and talking to people. I'm like, this is absurd. This is terrible.
I mean, it's close to us around here.
This is a high traffic area, not just for drugs, but for people.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm too naive, Chris. I'm like you. I'm just too naive.
I heard a really chilling study that people did, and this is starting to grow. But like, if you got to think about this in this context, like you say, Coach, it's like we're all naive. Like, think about, like, if you're driving to Charleston or you're driving somewhere into Pennsylvania and you're going by all these rest stops and you're going by all these trucks and you're going by... there's a really good chance that like every single one of us passes a truckload of people that are being trafficked on a regular basis. And we don't even know it. And you take it for granted. You wouldn't even think like, oh, wow, this is just a regular truck stop. There could be people out there in that truck
stop.
When you're going to take a piss, there's people out there fighting for their lives and you have no idea where they're at. But like, that's like, that brought chills to me when I thought about it. It's like, how many times was I around somebody that maybe I could have done something, but I don't know enough about it. It's a tough thing to get involved with because you're putting yourself at risk too. So
I know we've all made bad decisions. I know the fact of matter that obviously there's hopefully still some good people in the world, but how bad do you have to be? How fucking sick and demented do you have to be to fucking do something like that?
I think everyone has a price, Jeff, sadly. And I think that outweighs a lot of the morality of it. Terrible to say, but I think that That's it. Other people, they don't have a choice. They've also been put into it. They're being threatened, and they are now culpable to either go out and try to pick up potential victims so themselves don't get killed or whatever. There's a lot of the people in the powerful spots have a lot of leverage on some of these people, and so people do things that maybe they don't want to do. But yeah, if you're just getting kicks out of this and you think it's enjoyable to participate in or act on it, you're the sickest of the sick for sure.
Yeah, and a little bit off the subject, but sort of on the same. Like, being a good Samaritan anymore could be dangerous. Absolutely. Also,
oh my God.
I was thinking about this driving the other day. If I saw somebody pulled over with a flat tire or whatever, supposedly an engine, were you going to pull over and help them?
You don't know them. It's a great question.
You don't know them.
It's a great question.
You're out somewhere. We're not real familiar with you. We're like going to Charleston, say, and you see a guy pulled over, hood up, and he's. Would you guys pull over?
No.
I'd be honest, I think I'm on your page. And that's a horrible
shit. I mean, I'd had to see, here's where I draw the line, because I see this all the time now. There's people that are doing this as, okay,
oh, yeah,
coach pulls over to help this guy or a girl, and then there's a guy comes out from in the trunk or
absolutely
somewhere, smashes him with a tire iron, takes everything he owns, whatever. If it's a younger person, they take them
absolutely
as a human trafficking body. I may intervene or act if I saw it was like a car flipped over, or what I'm saying, like it was life or death.
Yeah.
So that may trigger your like, oh, I'm going to try to help. I may save a life here. But if it's just like a flat tire or something, you can wait for AAA. I know that sounds like a dick thing.
It's not.
And I would love to help you, but I can't take the chance that you're going to kill me. I know.
Well, what about, I'll take it a step further. What about, we're walking out of the MEC tournament the other night, and then all of a sudden five guys just start beating the shit out of somebody.
I was thinking about that.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it's so sad.
Even like a girl, maybe even sexually molesting her.
You know what? Honestly, that you'll take it a step further.
And you got five thugs who you get in the middle of, they'll
kill you.
There's probably a gun coming out or a knife, and you should intervene. It's the right thing to do, but do you do it?
I tell you what, man, that is, well, once again, very shitty that we even got to contemplate that.
Well, it's been a very positive filled show here.
Well, no, but just like today's
been realistic though.
Yeah. So today's day and age, man, I don't know that answer. Mm. I think you would have to probably put me in that situation.
And I hope none of us are.
I'd like to hope that I would do something, but I right away, like you say, like when you sign up for something, you know what the risk could be. If you get involved there, you're going to have to think that, like Coach said, there's a weapon, there's going to be a bad outcome here. They're just not going to walk off and say, oh, sorry. It's not going
to
turn out.
That's why it's almost like I'm almost to the point where I'm going to get a gun and go to gun tree.
You almost feel like
go to gun tree and learn seriously how to use it and be able to carry it with me. And then if you run into something like that, then you have the backup, so to say, to maybe take to help.
Yeah, and so that way you just don't have to rely on your brute strength and not
right.
So which I've had to a lot in my life.
Some Bondo back in the day,
which I've had to rely on.
His shin still, not the same from that.
Exactly. So interesting topic because I've thought about it driving. What if I see someone with the hood? I said, I don't think I don't know if I'd call 911, but I don't even know who I'd call and say, hey, there's a car broken down at mile marker or whatever. You might want to respond to it. I don't know.
I guess at least it's doing something.
Yeah.
Right.
At least that is doing something, and it's taking some of the, the harm out of it for you as an individual.
Yes.
But here's the deal. There's too many stories now.
Oh, that's what I mean.
I mean, there's too many stories that make us now make the public self-aware. But here's the deal. That also sucks the humanity out of things, too.
It does. Yeah. It does.
It really does.
Because 100% back in the day, you would pull over and help change a tire. You wouldn't just.
My dad, every day of his life, coming home from Wharton Steel, would pick up a hitchhiker.
There's another one. That's another one
every
I was thinking about.
Every day of his life, he'd see somebody, had no problems.
That's another thing I was thinking about.
Weird, and that's when Route 2 was still two lanes, the whole goddamn way, this and that. Like, I mean, but here's the deal. The day that I pick up a fucking hitchhiker, I mean, I would hope to God you guys would donkey punch me.
Just watch the movie The Hitcher. That'll cure you.
I forgot all about that one.
Oh, good God. That's awful.
Yeah, it's just sad, though.
You can't even form an opinion on the basis of sex either, because a girl, there could be, like you say, there could be a guy involved in this sting that they're running on you. And you see it every day. Somebody, the girl plays the victim, and then here comes the guy, smashes you over the head. And yeah, you it's no longer, well, I would be more inclined to help a female because, you know, you're not going to stab you probably, but, you know, or you could fight them off a little bit, but here comes the guy out of the woods.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now you're seeing that also, and this may have been going on for a while. If you're like at a red light or something, and these people have this scam where they back into you.
Yes.
And then they tell the police that he, you know, he ran into you, and then it's their fault, and they're looking for cash or whatever. Hey, we won't report this. If I mean, it's just one thing after another. I'll tell you
something else now too that I seen the other day is money. How somebody would drop a $100 bill in the parking lot, and then all of a sudden it's laced with something, and you touch it, and then all of a sudden it gets in your system. You pass out. Next thing you know,
Oh, geez, I didn't know that one.
Oh yeah.
Now you think about that. Crazy, you get excited back then. Fuck, I just found a fin. Let's go to the
ball.
Then next thing you know, you wake up and you're bound and tied up to something.
Or have rubber gloves or you're picking up money.
Or they take you and take your kidneys or whatever and sell them on the black market.
I mean, honestly. It's sad.
Could have fentanyl on it.
Man.
Anything's possible. You can't really do anything. Back to our main point. It's nice to just stay home. Uh-oh, I think Coach and Chris's camera just exploded.
Uh-oh. Oh, well, that's all right.
So, Mark, what did you have? You said you had a couple of things you wanted to talk about.
Some global topics or the list.
The first thing I wanted to talk about, Jerry from St. C called the show today. And did you hear that, Jeff, that the normal price for a hotel room, and those guys always going to make call from motel, a hotel room in Charleston at the embassy was $139. For this weekend, for the high school basketball tournament, $359 a night. And then somebody else called, Mr. Umpire called in and said they were getting $400 or $500 from some conference that was down there. What are your thoughts on that? Obviously, I know what your thoughts are, but what do you...
I you know what?
Shouldn't that be regulated?
That's honestly where I was going to go with it. It's such a shame that once again, they're preying on people's needs at that time.
Yeah, right.
And then they bend you over. I mean, that's absurd to me. But here's the deal. That's nothing new. I mean, as you know, anywhere you go for any big event or whatever the case might be, I mean, I know that I can speak just on South Bend alone. You know, you go out there just on a normal day for you to stay on campus. You know, obviously it's not cheap. But then you go out there for a big game or whatever. I mean, they literally bend you over and...
And you're going to pay it.
Because here's the other problem with that is, I mean, I think when you're younger, you don't think about convenience. You'll pay a little bit less and go through the work of muscling through and driving somewhere else and all that stuff. But as you get older, man, you pay for the convenience factor that you park your car when you get there on Friday. You don't have to leave your car till Sunday. You walk right to the stadium, but they bend you over for the convenience though.
I mean, it's just so sad because people, as we said on the radio, you're going to do it. You're going to go. It's potentially a once in a lifetime thing that you're going to do. It's a fun time when you go to Charleston, even though we don't like the city like we used to, but it's still something special. You're there for the state tournament. All people gather, you have fun, you hoot and holler, you know, go watch basketball, but we figured up if you go down to Central plays Tuesday today, which this will be coming out, they play Tuesday today if they win, Saturday if they win again. People were maybe potentially staying for four nights, you know, $1,500, $1,600. That's not including your tickets. That's not including your food, not including whatever else.
That's expensive beer. Week for high school basketball.
Yeah. We said you could go to on a vacation.
Without a doubt.
For a week.
I mean, that's – and I agree. Like, and obviously you're not, I guess, in capitalism. I mean, obviously, everybody's happy to make some money and this and that, and that's what America was founded on and all that stuff. But I agree, Mark, there's got to be some sort of regulation with that because that's just gouging. And it's
that's not capitalism. That's gouging. That would be.
100%. And it just seems
and it's monopolizing, too, because you only have so many options in a place like that.
No different than, you know, like supply and demand for, like, concert tickets, you know, depending on who the performer of the band is. That, those fucking tickets get jacked up, and it's supply and demand. So they're going to get that two straight fucking weeks. with the girls all week and then the boys next week.
Two straight weeks. Yeah.
And you know what I guess?
And they still have other things going on there, too. Other conferences. You know, we've been down there over the years. You see all these people dressed up while there's some big companies having a whatever. So, it, I mean, it, what a... What
Wells
a,
Fargo. What a, yeah. Right? Andy Paterno party.
What a windfall for those 2 weeks for Embassy.
Oh, God.
Or the parent company.
Can you imagine what I would like to know? Hilton. Can you imagine being able to talk to an executive and say, hey, you know what? Just out of curiosity, where's your head at with this this concept? And I would love to know what their answer or how transparent they could and would be with you on selling you that, well, that's just kind of the way that it is. Or like, I would love to hear their answer.
Because it can't cost anymore if the place is full when it's not, you know, when that event's not there or when it's there, it can't cost them anymore.
Right.
I mean, it's the same.
Their resources are the same, yeah.
Right. So, I don't know. It's a shame. It really irritates me. I wouldn't mind stealing, like, a pillow or something. Mm-hmm. Like.
But actually, here's the problem, too. I feel bad. Now, granted, that would be a hit for any of us in this room. But can you truly imagine the person that maybe doesn't have a lot?
Right.
Yeah, there's...
I mean, that doesn't have a lot, and their son is the star basketball player.
Yeah,
I mean, that is really unfortunate.
It is.
And what about some of these... places where like the mean income and median income in the area is really a lot lower than this part of the state.
Like somebody single A.
Yeah, I mean, those are some small town areas there that have people that probably don't make a whole lot of money. And asking them to pay that's just criminal.
Well, I'll go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No,
because
I was going to.
No, because I just forget what I was going to say.
No. Well, you know what, actually, what that's become now is you think about, and this is really a cheesy comparison, you think about homecomings, proms, all that type of stuff. They've become mini weddings.
Mm-hmm.
And for the people that truly are not as well-to-do, I mean, there's people now spending $1,500, $2,000 on a dress that you're going to wear one time for a homecoming or whatever the case might be. I do feel bad for the kids. And let's be honest, it's not about a status or whatever. But as we all know, kids can be very mean. And the fact of the matter that if you're not rocking the $1,500 dress and you just found something at Gabriel's, like that whole element of how everything is just blown the fuck up.
When
just,
did that start, though? When did all this, when it became...
It, just, it was not my way in my high school days.
No, Coach, that might be on the switch. Is that on that switch? Sorry to interrupt. On the switch on the wall, that outlet might be on the switch. I'm just thinking. I don't know that to be true, but... Okay. Yeah, there you go. All right. Sorry for the technical difficulty there, folks. Coach fixed it.
What do you guys think?
I mean, we had to have a suit for homecoming. And then you would do a tux for prom. And then that, but I mean, now what all's involved with it? I mean, it
got to get a limo, got to get a high end restaurant. I mean, it's
big after party.
And not to belittle anybody that has to go to Gabe's or somewhere to get it. As long as you look fine, but you're right though. People would just ridicule and make fun of them because, you know, well, I got my gown, it's $900.
I got my Armani suit.
Yeah, right. Like, who gives a fuck? But I just, the whole thing is just out of control.
To answer your question, I don't know when it started. Because I know I graduated in the mid-90s. I know that it wasn't some big to-do then.
No.
I mean, when did you retire?
From teaching?
Yes.
2015.
I mean, what did you remember, like, in that time of the game?
I miss what you guys were.
Homecoming, prom.
Like just the elaborate expenses and all that.
No, it wasn't as bad back then.
So here's the deal, Chris. We're going to say in the last 10 years.
Then. Yeah, it's gotten way worse. Yeah, way worse. And you look at just kids have to dress for school, like at Wheeling Park. You know, if you don't have the $120 shoes or the whatever the, that's why I always thought they should have went with not uniforms but standard khaki pants, like
a loose uniform,
couple of Wheeling Park shirts, khaki pants, and some type of shoe that isn't, I don't know, you can wear it whatever shoe. I guess.
They could have had a few different options, an ensemble of options, and probably would have been.
It's very difficult on people that are not, making a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's just, it is. It really is. It's a tough situation.
Yeah, no fun at all. I did read something the other day, too. Do you got something else over there, Marcus?
No, go ahead.
Could you guys be somebody's personal assistant?
As far as?
Like, you know how I guess I seen something the other day. Gene Simmons.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I did. See
I had
that.
It on. I had it what on a paper to talk about.
Roadie?
We never got to talk what, about.
He's
it.
He's going
to
be the roadie.
Yeah, but no, I think it's. Yeah,
well, he's either going to be a roadie or a personal assistant, however you wanted to use him.
Yeah,
he's going to be what did it say? 15K or 16K?
12,000. Yeah, 12,000.
And what's he do?
Well, I think
whatever the person wants, or the band, or whatever.
Yeah. Oh. I guess any of us, once again, it kind of goes back to the money thing. I mean, everybody's got a price, Matt, like you said. I don't know if I could, let's be honest, indirectly, I'm somebody's bitch because I'm indirectly the corporate's bitch.
Corporate America, yeah. Buddy. Yeah.
But I don't know if I could be, I don't know. I guess I'm asking you guys.
I say it depends on what she looks like.
Yeah, that's a fair statement.
I don't know. It would depend on the person. I feel like,
what's
yeah.
What's pay?
Yeah.
If in what kind of field it was in. But
to make a cookie cutter statement, yeah. I guess, just a cookie cutter, could you be somebody's personal assistant?
Yeah.
I'd have to know who the somebody was.
Well, a lot of conditions would happen.
But,
I mean.
Yeah. So I'd say ultimately my personality's not set up to do that, but.
What do you always say, Chris? Everybody has a price.
That's Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, but if you got to like just you know do every little demeaning thing for them, then get the fuck out of here. I'm not doing it.
Yeah, I guess if you break down that barrier, if there is a true respect factor and you're their equal, you just happen to work for them because at the end of the day they're such a busy or prominent person.
Yeah, right.
That would be a different ball game. But if they in return are belittling or you're not their equal, and you're just truly their bitch. I don't care how much money it would be.
That would last a day.
Yeah, they're
just, not even. A day.
That'd be a rough pill to swallow, I think.
Yeah, I want to hit on that the girl that I know, Chris. This is a really hot topic with Chris, and we don't want to get any racial kind of thing or whatever. But did you see that the girl hit the other? Well, I know you did, Matt. The girl that in the relay race had hit the other girl over the head with a baton.
No,
you never saw that.
State of Virginia.
Yeah.
Like yeah, state track. Was it 4x100?
I wish we could pull that up.
4x100?
4x200.
4x200, and you know how they're handing the baton off to their teammates or whatever, and the one girl just smashed this baton over the girl's head.
Well, the girl...
real quick, competitor or...
Yeah, in play, in running. In the
she didn't do it to her own teammate, right? She hit somebody else.
She's in lane two, the hit E, the hit R. Lane three is the hit E. Lane two was winning... Lane three comes up and goes by her, and the girl just in a dead sprint just took her baton and
like
whacked her over the head, and then the girl grabbed her head and eventually rolled into the grass inside. But that's the start of the story. But Chris, you can go on. You that was really a hot.
Before we go on though, because I've been fat my whole life and I've never seen a relay race, so I don't even know what that baton is. What is that made out of?
It's made of metal, like metal.
So if you crack somebody,
I mean, it's not filled with lead or anything.
It's not like a pool ball, but it's got some substance to
it.
Yeah, if you whack them in the head, if you whack someone in the head with it, it's going to hurt.
The girl got a concussion out of it.
Okay,
but anyway, it was a hot topic with Chris, and he can explain a little bit more.
It wasn't so much the act as just the reaction after it all happened.
But it was the act.
The reaction made it even worse.
Yeah.
That's and you know, so the girl on the inside, the hitter. Must have got pissed off because this girl was blown by her. But anyway, after it was all said and done, the hitter was in tears and didn't really take accountability for it. Didn't, you know, she was talking about the girl was running too close. She bumped me and threw her off balance and her arm went up in the air and she kind of impeded her progress and she just came down and like it was, she claims it was an accident. She said she would never intend to do that. Her mom and dad basically said the same thing. Even a fucking dickhead track official said the same thing about the contact. Now, if you watched the video, did you guys see? You saw.
Oh, I saw.
Was there any contact?
No.
You mean between the two girls?
Yeah.
No. There was not.
And then they interviewed the hitter. And just big crocodile tears talking about, well, what was it, Matt? She said something like, well, yeah, okay, you might be physically hurt, but what about
my mental state.
She said my mental.
She played the victim in the whole thing. The parents played along. It was really bad. One time did she show any remorse. Not like, I'm sorry this happened. This is a miss. Even like if you were going to try to say that you accidentally struck this girl, first of all, she cocked her arm back in an unnatural running motion.
Right, right.
Chopped thing. So that was hard to believe. But if you were going to try to sell that story that it was an accident and that she did come in and she got in your way and you tried to like readjust your arm and you swung too hard. Okay, I don't see it, but you could try to make the case. You would have at least started probably by saying, I'm really sorry this happened. I didn't mean her any harm. This is what happened from my point of view. I promise it wasn't intentional, but I'm very, very sorry this happened. Never once. There was no sorry. There was no remorse. There was nothing in her tone that indicated that she felt bad about it. It was all she's being attacked. And I thought the racial component was ridiculous because right. The girl that she hit was also African-American.
Right,
so it made
right,
no
exactly.
sense to me at all. So, yeah, it was just a simple case of right and wrong. And by all most accounts, this girl was way wrong. And shame on her parents. Like, I
well, that tells me all you need to know about her parents.
Right,
they
exactly.
Both, they 100%. Both, you know, the mom said, well, I know there's no way it was intentional because she would never do that.
Oh.
The dad basically said the same thing. Well, I got to stick up for my daughter. You know, I got to fight for her. And then even the hitter said that, well, you know, you're just looking at it from one camera angle. Okay, so maybe the other angle we would have had a different opinion of it. But I was just so pissed. And like Jared said, and any of us would agree, if you just come out and say, man, I lost my cool. I behaved like an idiot. I'm so sorry that I did this. Apologize to the girl, her teammates, my teammates,
absolutely.
My family. Yeah. Diffuse the situation. But instead, they fucking go out there and lie and make up all this shit and play victimhood.
The story would have went away if she
yes. absolutely
it went away
but
quick.
You just get I was fucking
and her parents should have told her how to handle that better, and they obviously didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
I think nowadays, in all honesty, I think even though the society has changed so much, I think that if you are truly honest about things and you come out and you say, you know what, I fucked up.
Oh, 100%.
I should never do that. You're still going to get ridiculed a little bit. But I think most human beings that are still human and have the humanity side,
we all would forgive.
They would be like, you know what? You know what? He fucked up. They apologize for it at the end of the day. But when you go down that path,
oh,
you're just trying to make excuses.
Done.
And then I was going to beat you the punchline. It obviously, you could tell their parenting skills because at the end of the day, they enabled her. So right. They're probably the root cause of why she
yeah,
did
absolutely.
Something like that.
Somebody made a comment like, in one of the articles I read, in saying that, well, I don't even really feel bad for the girl. I feel bad. Or they weren't mad at the girl because that's how she was raised. So it's really not her fault to react like that because that's what her parents, you know, they're probably, you know, and I'm sure if she got a B in a class, it was probably the teacher's fault mm-hmm. that she didn't get an A and all that.
Always the victim.
Yeah. And it was just absurd. And, you know, and there's such a lack of that these days or been quite some time now where people don't want to apologize. They don't want to. So us guys just being observers or seeing this, you think, God, it would be so refreshing to hear just somebody say, you know, I fucked up. And we would be even more inclined to forgive somebody because we never hear anybody really being accountable and just saying, you know, I was an asshole. I overreacted. It was stupid. Please forgive me. And just move on.
People associate apologizing with some sort of weakness,
yes,
like they think
right.
it's a weakness, but it actually takes a lot more courage to
it
apologize.
It sure does, man.
And strength to own
shit,
what you did wrong.
100%.
Because every single one of us has fucked up so many times, countless ways.
Daily.
Like, yeah, and we'll continue to do it for the end, till the end of time, but you just hope that you don't do it enough to affect other people's lives. And if you do, that you're damn sure being apologetic about it and trying to rectify the situation.
Sports brings out the worst in people.
It was created to bring out the best, and it brings out the worst.
Absolutely. That's why I said, and no, Chad Stout, my very good buddy Stubby, said to me, people like feel sorry for young people that are disabled and can't perform like regular or great at, and they are dead wrong. They're the ones that have it right. They have it right. If anybody watched the game a couple of Sundays ago at Wheeling University, what went on in that gym, and I watched, I don't know if you guys saw that fight in the stands at the Uniontown game.
Yes.
It was unbelievable. Yeah,
unbelievable.
Yeah. That was really bad.
And I just sat
there. Is that how you told me about the basketball?
Yes. Oh, it was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
I saw real quick.
Uniontown.
I can't believe it.
Oh, is that where that was?
Uniontown.
High school?
High school.
Okay.
Not that far away.
And then I just sat through 5 days of Mountain East Conference listening to fans the entire game bitch at the officials and the coaches. And I'm like, give me Special Olympics basketball any day of the week. And I'd go for 5 straight days and love every second of it. They got it right.
They do it right.
And it is true. And here's the other thing about that is it's crazy how everybody can come together there and root for the common cause. Now, granted, obviously, I know it's not as competitive and everybody has a rooting vest, but like that arena, man, I'm not gonna lie. I know you kept on using the terms. It was good for the soul. It truly was good for the soul that night.
100%.
To watch that and see how everybody's cheering for them and their reactions. And before when they were announcing them and they had all the Jesuit athletes out there and doing what they were doing, I'm not gonna lie. That was extremely humbling in my personal
life. And I've not. You know, when you come out of a game, you're hearing people bitch, just the referee, the coach, this, that. Still to this day, and people can't say enough about how awesome that was and how it made him feel, how great it was. You left there with a sense of, my God, there is good in the world. Mm-hmm. There is good. These kids, that you know, we thank goodness we all got to experience it and see it and just be part of it and just see what. For 3 hours in a gymnasium, everybody was having, 2,000 people there, everybody was having fun.
Uh-huh.
And 100%. There for the same reason and left just upbeat and smiling and hugging and laughing. And, oh, my God, people even, wasn't that a, what, and people would say that's the best thing I've seen in years. It's the best thing.
Well, Shane Gillis has got a gig where he talks because he's got either a challenged uncle or a challenged brother, and people would come up. You guys know who Shane Gillis is, right?
Yeah.
Moral story, people would come up and kind of like apologize, and they're like, fuck, he's happier than anybody else.
Absolutely,
I know.
100%.
Like, at the end of the day, they got a good life. They got a great outlook in life. I mean, and it's not wrong. I mean, it's
they're always smiling.
Always smiling.
Never. The whole time.
Don't know anything different. I mean... But I do. I think it goes back, honestly. It's a parental problem because I do remember, and I remember this distinctly. You guys know the bubble out on Tridelphia on 40?
Yep.
Mm. So before Luke's group started Corpus Christi basketball, which would have been fifth grade, we entered a team for third and fourth grade basketball out there. And we lost a tough game one day. And it was once you went out there, it's kind of like the whole thing where you played all day long. So it was actually a really good system out there. But first game, Luke did not, tough loss, which I do understand. It's still third and fourth grade. So that's a really dumb statement, but a tough loss. And, when he went through the lines, he wouldn't clap hands. That motherfucker didn't see the court the rest of the day out there. Because at the end of the day, you have to set some sort of tone that's just not the right way to do business, right?
Yeah.
But here's the deal. Most parents, like you said, most people will enable them. It's not their kid's fault, blah, blah, blah. But that it is. It's a parental problem nowadays because everybody tells their kid how fucking great they are, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and then you and Barry, even though he's a young age, have him sit there. And even though the games he didn't play, he was still in uniform.
100%
right?
sit on the bench.
And not play. And if anybody has to ask him, which maybe not at that age, but for him to sit there, knowing he can't play, all his teammates are going in and he's perfectly healthy. That's a strong message.
It is. And I'll be honest with you, it's humbling and it's a good lesson to learn.
And if he's got to get embarrassed,
that's a good thing.
And that's the time you do it when they're young like that.
There were a couple guys sitting behind me during the Concord game. One of them actually was the husband of the coach for Concord.
Concord women?
Yes.
Tesla's husband.
Literally the entire game screaming at the officials, just but I would like to take film of and show it to him and have sit down with him and say, I want you to watch this and tell me what you think of that. Is that
awesome?
Is that right? First, and he had a child. He had a young. Yeah, is this how
about
you,
a year old?
Is this how you're going to teach your daughter to respect officials, respect teammates, and carry yourself? Because it's going to carry over into life. So is this what you're going to teach? And see what he would say, because the whole game, I turned around a couple times. I figured he was going to say, what are you looking at? Like, say that those kind of guys will say that kind of like, what are you looking at, tough guy, or something. Like, well, I've heard you the whole game. We know you're here. You don't like the officials. Enough's enough. And just watch it, have him watch it for as long as he went on and say, sir, what to give me your thoughts on that? Sum your behavior up to us and see see what it
was justified.
And they probably say, well, the referee sucked.
They would justify.
What kind of impact is he expecting to have in that?
Yeah.
Right. What's going to happen?
Yeah. What's the outcome?
What's he going to change by acting like that?
Acting like that. Do you think those referees care who's winning? That's what I always said. Do you think they care if Concord wins or Glenville wins? They don't care. Mm. It's just amazing. I 5 days of it, I was so over it by the end of the the tournament. I just wanted to get away from it.
And you know, and when you were talking about the Special Olympics game and how that was such a good feeling, everybody involved and all the good things that went with that. And if you took a guy like that,
right,
and made him go to that, he would probably think the same thing that we would, and didn't see anybody bitching. But the next college game he went to,
it'd be
the
ballistic.
Same fucking way,
ballistic
bitching. And yeah. I don't think these people can help themselves.
I don't think they can.
But what changed? I know that there's always been hecklers, and I'm sure of it. But I guess what has given people the entitlement?
Well, I think that they're allowed to do it. I think if there were stricter rules in a gymnasium or a field, somebody should have went, security should have went and said, all right.
Warning.
That's enough. If we hear you again, you are leaving the building. And if you give us any problems, we will call the law, and they will take you out in handcuffs. And if that would start, it would curb that behavior. But people are allowed to get away with it. They are just allowed to carry on and say and do whatever they want. And I think if it would stop, I mean, if they would stop it during a game, say, even stop the game, stop the game.
This
game is not proceeding until that gentleman is out of the building.
They almost got to do this at the third and fourth grade 100%. Levels or 3 and 4 year old levels, because that's where it begins.
I watched 4 year olds wrestling down in Charleston, the parents were insane.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
See, that's where sports needs to become a unified front, and they need to bring these organizations, whoever runs basketball, whoever runs football, and they all need to come together. I know this
absolutely
going to happen, and they need
I don't know why it couldn't. Why couldn't it?
But it should be able to. Have a meeting of the leadership group.
Yeah, leadership.
Leadership, and you come in there, and you set the tone, and
so
you
got
to set
tolerance.
Zero tolerance, and every sport needs to stick
right
to it.
Yeah. Here's what I say. You guys probably all drive over the speed limit at times. And when you go through Benwood, do you slow down?
Absolutely.
1,000%.
Yeah. Why?
Because you know.
You know that there's going to be
Benwood, Bethlehem, there's certain areas.
So you don't do it.
That's a good example.
But wherever else you go, you know, like when you're driving to Charleston, you know you can go 20 miles. Because you're never going to see rarely you're going to see a police officer. You go through Benwood, or as you said, Bethlehem,
you better go the speed limit.
Because they've set the tone.
If you're one or two over, they'll get you.
They let you know, and they're not going to let you off of the warning, which I agree with 100%. But if like Wheeling Park would start and say, we're not tolerating any behavior, then the word would get out. Listen, if you misbehave at Wheeling Park, you're out. You're gone. If they hear you screaming and yelling at the official, they're going to give you they're going to go up and tell you, that's enough. We've heard enough out of you. And it shouldn't be the official shouldn't have to turn around and say, this guy's got to go. He's got to go. It should be the administration. And that would solve a lot of issues as the games get more competitive. It would solve the issues of you can feel the tension building, and then it becomes, you know, then the fans are into it, and it would curb it.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest. I'll take it one step further. We just got done talking about sex trafficking. So the fact of the matter, if we found a sex trafficker, and I know this
there
is rainbows and butterflies, but you bring back public stoning or the fact, whatever the case might be, and you start making examples that, you know what, this isn't going to be tolerated. I guarantee those tough guys would really revisit to know
100%.
That I'm going to be out there and I'm going to be buried to my neck, and they're going to allow people to throw stones in my head.
100%.
Probably don't want to go through that shit.
Right.
Right.
Sign me up to do that.
Yeah. Right.
Chris, I heard they're bringing a firing squad.
See something like that.
It was in Illinois.
Firing squad.
I actually thought I was reading something wrong with that.
Firing squad.
That guy died. But the thing is, he was on death row for 22 years, which is ridiculous.
Well, that's a waste of money. Yeah.
But they said there were three shooters and eight. Did it used to be like only one of them had a bullet?
Yeah, only one of them had a live round.
Is that right? What it was?
So they could all have plausible deniability that they were the killer.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
To basically help people sleep at night when that was their job as an executioner.
Because they were just correctional officers, I think. But I think they put three bullets in his heart and boom, gone.
See, I'm against that too. I think that it should be three guys with three guns. First guy gets a leg. And then the second guy gets like an armor and appendage. Yeah. And then the third is the kill shot. Yeah. But he's got to feel the other two first before the kill shot.
I think that's great.
But don't think of that one.
Well, then you hit him, blow his kneecap.
Yep.
And then come back in an hour.
Yeah.
Don't worry. You won't feel it in a couple minutes.
But yeah. I know it sounds extreme. Boom, boom, boom. I know it sounds extreme.
It's inhumane.
But the shit that we're seeing now, there's not. So what? You go spend 20 years in prison and you got three hots and, you know, like prison life. For some reason, there's this thing I'm following. I don't even know if it's a TikTok thing or something. That's embarrassing that I'm even saying that. But it's shown a lot of prison life. I seen something the other day where these fucks got Xbox in prison and shit like that.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the deal. Nobody wants to be incarcerated. But at the end of the day, for probably some of them, the way they grew up, it's probably not, and there are a lot of friends there.
Got your meals.
Yeah. I mean, so why are we making it friendly to be in prison? Yeah. I mean, I
should be a deterrent
for those hardened criminals. They should suffer every day.
Back to the shooting, the guys that get to shoot, they ought to let the parents of if someone gets murdered or a relative, those should be the people with the guns doing the work. Yeah. And then they get to choose. They get like four bullets and they get to choose where they hit them.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to sit there and smile.
Yeah.
Now how you feel, tough guy.
Yeah.
I think we should start.
I totally agree. You know, I'd love to, and I've brought this up before, or we've talked about it maybe just in a bar setting, is these fucking attorneys that work their ass off just to save somebody from a death sentence. Like, okay, well, you know, the guy raped and murdered two teenage girls, but hey, we won. He's not going to die. A death penalty. Like, I don't know how they sleep. I don't either. I would love to talk to somebody. Like, is that considered a victory for the law firm? I mean,
they swear an oath to do that, though.
I know that, but Jesus Christ.
I mean, some of them have stepped. I mean, somebody
would you just walk away and say, I don't want to do
that
this?
That person, I think, that shot that healthcare executive, I think the attorney recused themselves or something because they didn't feel good about it anymore. So I mean, you can do that, but if you're going to stay on with the client, you're supposed to give them your best.
I know
efforts.
That. I'm just.
I mean, you'd like to think they would defend all of us like that if we were innocent, especially. Well, but I get what you're saying. After they've been convicted, it's hard to go there and argue leniency for someone that was convicted of that.
It's a sworn oath that they have to do that. That's fine. I would just love to get into their mind and hear what their thoughts. You know, all the time and resources they have to put into it and then try to make that happen, and they do get the verdict that they want. How do they feel about that? I know they're doing the job that they're supposed to be doing.
I think that's another Ted DiBiase situation too.
Hey, mm-hmm. Chris, that's why, and Jubb and Jerry get on me all the time. That's why I like revenge movies. Vigilante movies. I love them.
Who was the guy on this?
Charles Bronson.
I love them all.
Listen, Jason Statham, he's my favorite.
He's great.
He's my favorite actor because he's a vigilante, and I love it.
Tell you what, though, I couldn't be. I could be a defense attorney to stick up for somebody that if I had a reasonable doubt that I thought you were innocent. But if it's black and white, I'd be honest, hard to do. I couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it.
And like you said, Matt, it's about the stacks or making a name for yourself or building a reputation.
Meaning
to build
this case might not be the one, but if I defend this guy vigorously, there's a chance I'm going to score an OJ or something down the road, and I'm going to be set forever.
I couldn't do it.
I'm sure and you see it. You know, there's been they struggle with that like moral compass, like what. Where do I draw the line? Everybody's entitled to this defense, but are they really? Like, these are the worst of the worst.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're starting to talk about people that are child predators and stuff and sex offenders, I mean, I don't know how you do defend that. I mean, I would recuse, if I was an attorney, I'd recuse myself from any case like that. I couldn't do it. And barring the fact that I see all the evidence and I think my client is wholeheartedly innocent is being defamed. And then you're fighting your ass off to prove this person didn't do that, which you would certainly hope nobody would.
So the attorney comes into the office the next morning. He's just got two dozen donuts for the staff and, like, you know, celebrating because, you know, that fucking guy, he's not going to get the electric chair now.
Yeah.
We saved his life.
Got everybody jelly donuts, guys.
Right, exactly. And then we're going to have lunch, too.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Data's, I just don't, again.
You're right, Chris. I mean, it's definitely... It weighs on people with a conscience, I will say. It has to.
But Jeff, I wish we could go back to have those where you could, you know, public stoning.
Would you go downtown and watch one of those?
Absolutely.
Hey, for the right scenario, like if it was a sex trafficker or a child molester,
you talking lawn chair, six pack?
I'm telling you. And I know that sounds sick.
Oh, you
tailgate, bell.
Tailgate. I would be all in, man.
Bullhorn.
Yeah, you know what? Right? I mean, it would be awesome.
Oh, so like someone throws a rock and like hits him right, like in the eye.
Ringing the bell, right?
Oh, and then, that was a thing.
You organize a tailgate before getting
a bring cigar.
Called Doggers. We need a tray of those rats.
You know what? It would sell. You know it would sell.
Oh, my.
An executioner's chicken platter.
Where would be? You know where it'd be a good place to have that is up the amphitheater at Ogilby because the seats go up and you can look down.
That'd be like the Coliseum.
Yeah, I was just going to say it'd be like the Coliseum. That'd be cool.
Yeah, but who gets to throw? Anybody?
Or what do you enter a drawing?
Yeah, you enter a drawing. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Usually you'd have the victim's family, and then it would be like a reverse raffle drawing or something.
Well, say if we sold that place out, and we all got like a baseball size rock, and like if we all won, say the people like the family, you know, they get to throw first, and then they probably as many times as they want. But like if we all launched them all at one time.
Well, either that, or you're throwing, and you get so many points for hitting different areas.
So it's competition.
Well, you know, there'd be some gambling involved in some of it. That's
yeah,
sure.
We turn it into a gambling thing. Oh, that's a goodness. Good idea. Yeah,
right.
How pissed would you be?
I'd have like a body chart.
That didn't hit him in the chin, that hit him in the nose.
You'd have like different points for each.
And then you would have to have replay because you're right. Some people are like, fuck, it did him in the nose. It didn't hit him in the
nose. Oh, wait. Here's even better. You get a wheel and you spin it, and then there's all the different body parts, and it would lands on that. If you hit that body part, you get a prize.
Then you get a prize. And it's probably like one of those 25-cent prizes, but it's still a prize.
Bragging rights. Well, and then, too, then what's like if you and Mark are Mark go back and you throw consecutively, you knock the guy's eye out, he knocks his teeth out. What's a better shot?
Well, that'd be you'd have to determine. There'd be a committee to determine.
But you can't get a new eye.
And you know what? You would have to. You would have review so that if there's a debate on where you hit them, 100%. Then they can go back and review.
Jerry Jean's territory will be there.
Yeah, right. He's going to be the replay official for an execution.
And how pissed would you be? So you signed up on the dotted line, and you only got one throw. And you got up there, and you were the dickhead that fucking wide right.
Oh, dude.
Like, fuck.
Oh, and everybody booed you.
Get booed
out. Like, God damn it.
And they start throwing at you.
Like, oh, that wouldn't be good. I don't think I'd sign up for that. I think at the end of the day, you would. And then all the proceeds go to the family.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a fundraiser. It's still a good event.
Absolutely. Well, it's a good Chamber of Commerce.
I thought he said fundraiser. I thought you say it's a fun night for all.
Catching a bus. We all go to vets for 12 beers, and then you go do something like that. I mean, right. That would be awesome. Yeah,
that used to happen back. People would bring their families to that stuff. So
that'd be a tailgate. You're right, though. You have music playing.
Actually, it would be the circus con thing. All right, let's end on a good note.
That was a good note.
Master of ceremonies for the execution.
Just real quick. So St. Patty's Day is around, and we all love to have our beers and stuff like that. Have you guys ever truly celebrated St. Patty's Day? I'm an Irish Catholic.
Eating corned beef and stuff?
No, I guess in general. I'm an Irish Catholic once again. I've never really been, I love the concept of it, but to say that I've always went out on St. Patty's Day or anything like that, and we're all big drinkers and stuff like that. Have you guys all, like anybody?
A couple times. I mean, not specifically, but it usually coincides with March Madness to a degree. So yeah, here and there. Yeah, a couple of times I've been to events.
I have not, but I've always wanted to. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to go to a Celtic event and drink green beer and wear Irish stuff. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
It would be a lot
of
fun.
But I've never done it. Yeah. I have never done it because I really don't look at it as like a...
And my dad always makes the meal.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. That's been a tradition forever. We always on St. Patty's Day weekend at some point we're having corned beef, potatoes, cabbage, all the Irish stuff. Because, you know, I mean, with Irish, we have Irish in our blood. We're all Catholics.
Chris, what were you going to say? You were going to...
Well, I think that event they have, don't they have a big parade in Pittsburgh every year?
They do. Most big cities now.
Yeah, I just think... But I think that would be fun or some event.
I do, too.
But I've never... I mean... to actually celebrate the.
Yeah.
No, I just, I've been.
Jeff, what was your point? Why did you ask?
Because I was just trying to lighten the moment. We just got done talking about killing people and stuff like that. So I'm just saying, I guess the reason why I'm asking is also, you talk about four guys that, you know, like to booze it up a little bit. Like, it's never been in the forefront for me to go just, you know, go balls out on.
But I would 100% do it if somebody said, and I had the time and the family, or like my wife, I think it'd be a really lot of fun.
It would be a lot of fun.
I kept the music and the whole thing. I think it'd be really cool.
Maybe we should shoot for something next year, as in from a standpoint of find something locally that maybe.
Is that that's Saturday, right?
Monday.
Saturday.
Isn't it the 17th is on a Monday?
I thought it was 15th. I don't know. Is it celebrated on Saturday, though, maybe?
Perhaps.
That's probably
because I know there's parties over the track.
Yeah, it's not going to be celebrated on Monday. I mean, that's a good point. But I think the actual day is on Monday.
Oh, we should do that
someday. I think it's a fun holiday. I mean, it's very, very popular.
I think the whole thing Irish is cool. Like, I think it's really cool.
I think you would feel right at home if you were in an Irish pub drinking a draft beer out of a giant thing.
That or Germany.
Those are our heritage. You know.
Oh, that or Germany.
Quilligans and Delbrooks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's where we come from.
See the big mug.
I mean, the two biggest drinking nations in the world. Is it a shock that we're bloodline?
Just singing and pounding your feet.
Irish people were always made fun of when they came to this country because we were drunks. Hmm? Drunk and rowdy.
Yeah, because we had to go work. Goddamn, they made us do bad things. So we had to go drink for a living afterwards, for sure. Goddamn it.
Mix. Everybody was a mix.
Yeah. And that's the best part about that. When that word offend you.
No, somebody
called me a Mick. Like, what
I think it's so funny. I think those ethnic slurs are hilarious. I'm not trying to offend anybody, but they could call us that, but the Krauts, and we could go on. I think they're hysterical. Nobody should get upset about it. It's really not an offensive term. It's quite endearing. It just separates you. I mean, it shows, you know, you should be proud of your
heritage. Yeah, I agree.
100%.
We could do a whole show on that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure Jubb would enjoy putting that one up.
No, just,
like, Jeff, what do you have a bucket list of a place you'd go like
Ireland.
To go?
Oh, I'd, yeah, without a doubt. Boy, like, it would be a true dream to be able to
would
go.
Would you
want
to go to, like, Dublin part, like the Republic of Ireland more so than the...
I would like
the UK version of Ireland.
My family heritage is from County Cork.
Yeah.
So, like, I would probably like to dip my toe in that water, but probably the more famous Dublin and stuff like
were
that.
Yeah. Was your name O'Doyle
it
one
was.
Time? That's what I figured.
Yeah. And obviously they dropped it because they didn't want to be known when they came over.
I'll be
that
darned.
Was never a good thing.
Would you like to be O'Doyle?
I think it'd be badass.
I may bring
it back today. I may bring it back.
Next time I see you, I'm going to say hi, Mr. O'Doyle.
Mr. O'Doyle.
That may stick now. That may start going.
Yeah, I like
the Pine Room. Where do you want to go?
I mean, you're just talking about just any place.
If somebody said you got an all expense paid trip, probably be once of a lifetime. That's the only time you do it. Where would you go?
That's tricky. I there's lots of parts of Europe that I like to visit. Probably end up going to somewhere like Scotland. I really like to go there.
I think all those areas be cool.
Yeah, it would be cool.
Beautiful.
Oh,
but like, I think we've talked about this before. My only caveat is I would want to make sure that I had a lot of money where I could pay
everything.
To pay somebody to take us around.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like to the best extent, to your best place,
and then you're safe.
Yeah.
And they can speak. Like, if there's any by chance you have to worry about anything, like you have enough money in it, and you're just paying somebody to take you around and show you all the.
Yeah, that's a good point. That'd be really cool. Chris, what about you?
That'd probably be somebody over there somewhere.
Yeah,
over,
I think
it'd
be
England,
so much fun.
Ireland, or Germany, wherever the most fun is. I mean, you have fun in a lot of places there.
Beauty,
I mean, there's
beauty over fun or fun over
no,
beauty.
No, no,
I can have both.
Like, I've had enough fucking fun in my life. It'd definitely be beauty.
That would be
cool.
And then
you know, just the fun part of it. I mean,
how about real quick? And I want it. United States. Where would you want to go?
Somewhere that I've not, I still two places. I Northeast. I would like to go visit like the Maine and places
Cape
like
Town
that,
kind
like,
of places,
like up in that neck of the woods. Second place would be Colorado.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. Just a beautification. That.
How about you, Matt?
San Francisco for sure. I know it's a filthy mess right now, but geographically, I think it's the most beautiful city in the entire United States.
It is
so
nice.
Definitely would want to go there. And I've already been out to the Big Sky area, so I don't know. Probably San Francisco would be the one place, minus the people, of course.
Right.
What about you, Chris?
I'd like to. Where's Big Sky? Is that like up in
Montana, like, Wyoming? Yeah, yeah. It's really, you guys would love it. It is so neat. Talk about there. Peace and tranquility.
That's
you drive miles and you just see like a house like every like 6 miles, and you're out along these streams. And boy,
you can send me where it's beautiful and there's the least amount of people.
Right?
Would you guys
those
like
would be
to?
The areas
what about you?
Right there.
What about you?
Out that like Nevada, Arizona, out that way.
Would you guys go to like a dude ranch? Something with that scene, like, because I think a lot of the big sky, like that is kind of
probably
mantra.
Be cool to learn that something different, learn that lifestyle.
You can wear cowboy hats and stuff.
Well, I guess
cowboy hats are cool.
I don't think you have to. I guess you're sitting out by a fire at night, and then you're riding horses during the day, and maybe throwing a pole in the water and that kind of stuff. I mean, obviously, I'm not some big outdoorsman because that's not my mantra, but I would go do it for a week,
Chris.
Especially with a group of guys,
absolutely, Chris. You like when they have the Texas lawmen on and they all got cowboy hats on.
Yes, I think
that's cool.
Awesome.
I feel very protected when those guys are on.
I agree with that 100%.
When I watch what's that show, Landman, when they got those cowboy hats. Oh, I think
those guys don't take no
Yellowstone.
Shit.
Yellowstone, they all would.
Most cowboys are serious.
I was going to say, if you got a cowboy hat on, you're probably a badass.
If you make friends with a cowboy type, you're probably a badass.
You're okay, right?
I might start wearing a cowboy hat.
Giddy up, fucker. Giddy up.
Whoa, what a question.
Jeff Cherry and Dumb and Dumber. What do you
He you comes down you're rolling into the vets, and the vets one night, serious as a heart attack.
And he just
the
like
champ comes
in
with chaps
and
a
shot.
Exactly. And then actually, he's a true gentleman, so he takes his hat out, set it down on the bar, orders himself like a whiskey and a beer.
Howdy, ma'am. Yeah,
had spurs on your.
Oh, God, that'd be awesome. That'd be totally awesome. That needs to happen.
You rode
a wagon.
You put your horse on.
Tie your horse
to the flagpole.
Right out of the flagpole in the grass.
What I would do is I'd roll in the cowboy hat, but I'd tie up the wiener dogs outside.
Yeah. Well, Mark, I wouldn't ridicule you. I think I'd be great.
I'd be unbelievable to walk in with a cowboy hat on.
And you keep it going the whole night.
And
you like not go off
the a holster
just, like,
and a
the
gun.
Whole night. Like,
put a big chaw in it.
Like, and everybody's thinking, what the fuck? And they're asking you questions and you're just playing dumb like it's just normal that you're just wearing a cowboy hat.
You had like a sequin shirt on. What are those things they wear around their neck?
Lasso? Not a lasso.
Those ties that are like the. There's a.
Not a bolero.
And it's just.
But
it's still. I just get a shot of whiskey and, you know, chase it down.
You'd have to drink Budweiser, too. You'd have to, no light beers.
Yeah.
And then you start, like, you using a different accent.
Yeah.
Like you're from the South.
Then I walk right there and play Western music, country music.
Keep on spinning the garbage can.
Like after about 6 bourbons, you're line dancing.
I think you should do it. Let me know what you're going to do, because I'll go out that night.
That'd be awesome.
Unbelievable. That's unreal.
Good way to end it, guys.
Yeah, yes. That was fun.
Well,
what a way to go out.
It was very enjoyable, fellas.
Yes.
And very enjoyable. For episode 151 at the Pine Room Podcast /Studios, Matthew Watson, Marcus Delbrook, Chris Pavlik, and for Jeff Doyle here, better known as Cowboy Ryder.
Yeah.
Thank you all for all the support. We appreciate it. Hope you guys have a great evening.